offing status or the honor and recognition that goes to truly great acts. That illustrates that with golf, as with flutes, it to decide the question of what justice requires without to question what is the activity in question and what qualities, what excellence connected with that activity are worthy of honor and recognition. Let's take an example that's prominent in contemporary political debate, same-sex marriage. There are those who favor state recognition of marriage between one man and one woman, and there are those who recognition of same-sex marriage. How many here favor policy? The state should recognize tradition. The state should recognize traditional marriage only. And how many favor the second, same-sex marriage?
So this is in 2010. Sorry, just to frame the debate and how far it's probably come. Because I don't think it anymore.
Now, this way, thinking about morality under life over marriage.
Same-sex marriage.
The same-sex marriage say that the purpose of marriage fundamentally is procreation. That's what's worthy of honoring and encouraging. And the defenders of same-sex marriage, procreation is not the only purpose of marriage. What about a lifelong mutual loving commitment? That's real out. So, with flutes, with golf carts, an easily contested question, like same-sex marriage, Aristotle point, very hard to argue about justice. First, arguing about the purpose of social, about what qualities are worthy of honor and recognition. So these cases, and see how they shed light on we might improve, elevate the terms of political discourse in the United States, and for that matter, to think that if we engage with moral questions in politics, that's a recipe for disagreement, a recipe for coercion. So better to shy away from, to ignore all and the religious convictions that people bring to civic life. Its discussion reflects the opposite. That a better way to mutual respect is to engage directly with the citizens bring to public life, rather than require that people leave their deepest moral convictions aside politics. That it seems to me is to begin to restore the art of democratic argument. Thank you very much.
I can't, but it's so cold, and there ain't been no under music. It comes under music. It comes to me.
You were just listening to Lost Art of Democracy. This is from 2012. Free online for everyone to play the whole thing is Creative Commons agreement. Every TED Talk is stream online freely. So I'm a big fan of Michael Sandel. I said at the beginning. I would encourage reading any of his books. There's a myriad of them. My show last semester. We'll play a little music in between Denny with Bushes and Briars. Number here, 6.
my shoe if they. There was an every last one, the chosen man. They know thistles and a man. I can't really so. I can't really so. Every place. Son, there's no one in church, he's a chosen man. Briars, the thorns on the land.
Smiling strangers.
Listen to WRUV. This is Sam. I'm here from every Friday from 8 to 10 from here. And in the background is an artist called The System with Almost Grown. Before that, you're listening to some Vash with Winter is Blue. Fitting song. The weather out there, it's going to be super cold as you will hear, probably waking up at 9 o'clock. And we start with Sammy Down with Bushes and Briars. So we're going to play a little one coming up next. We're going to be pulling one of my favorite podcasts with Sean Carroll. And talk intellectuals and maybe science I enjoy it a lot. If you're kind of stuff, he's a physicist. Now he does natural philosophy. I believe, Baltimore. And so the subject was Sarah Bakewell, humanism. She basically covers them. What is it about? It's a very interesting subject and kind of. Awesome. The subjects we touched on before. That's closely related to the subjects we've covered. So I think it's highly related. And so there's going to be some excerpts from that. And news will be coming up really soon. For that. As always, then we're here signing any questions, comments, or suggestions through the RV.org.
I'm actually quoting. A comic novel by Dave Hughes, sort of, who is best known for Reginald Perrin. But this was called Sack Race, where he was his own experiences of being at school. This scene was imaginary school. Some students set up a human. And they have their, and of course, in the inaugural meeting, this is the first question. What is humanism? Degenerate else because they all have different humanism. So one of it's the attempt to escape from scholasticism and go back to sort of literary and free thinking. And then another one says, well, no, I mean, like being nice to people, animals. And another one's not humanism, trying to live without the supernatural and taking human connections to each other as the best. And one responds, but, and One responds, "What are you saying? Good to bandage animal people and things?" Goes on. But the thing is, they've had nails or definitions of humanism there. My starting point is, rather than cynicism is not that, it's this, to say, well, actually, it's all, and they are together by the center of the word humanism. So, for example, the milieu, especially in the world in general, is living without the done and probably without, but centrally and foregrounding human relationships, each other, a sense of community, and the morality. The emphasis was on the human world, the way managed society, all of those sort of shawl and community. So literature, not on theory, very much set apart. In fact, it was actually people would just speak of, and I leave, divine things to theologians. Separation of realm.
I can relate one here, which is that my wife Jennifer Will is a Winnist of the Year Award Association, and she got the notice, they mean you, because I'm the more, you know, atheist secular. I thought it was brilliant being devoted to rights, but in being devoted to rights, but in a way that beings and tells and relates it to us. And I thought that was an example of humanism in action. So I thought that was absolutely.
I mean, I think, and you know, that she got that award, and that sounds like a very, she got that award, and that sounds like a very, I mean, same thing could be said of you as well. You could, great science philosophy. I like to see, because as I say, on the one hand, there's, you know, you've got the realm of this, you know, you've got the realm of theology of the human, but the other great division in those, this idea of the realm of the physical world, the realm of this idea of the realm of the physical world, the realm of science, courage to think that thought really set apart from human feelings, human thought, responses to the world, and thought, responses to the world, ethics, about all of that, and I mean, I don't think it is when it comes to science in the sense but I think that our desire to use method to explore the nature of the universe itself, very much a part of our humanity, human beings, is deeply bound up interest in science, if you like, so to see those selves being bridged, and that's a
I do want to get to the actual history here. Maybe one more question would be, given all wonderfully good atom as you've laid that, who's the anti-humanist?
Maybe certainly today? Are anti and always have been anti and always have been, and it's define what that means too. It sounds like self-evident and it's not, because actually quite often those might be people who are reminds not to be too vain about, too carried away on saying, there's something I don't think humanists do. Have been some who have expressed themselves in how a piece of work, how excellent. Well, humanists are there to say, are you sure about that?
Yeah. Right.
I think also they do sort of us of the parts that, you know, so the parts that, you know, we come too rash getting on with, it's, you know, remember that there are all these bad things that happen, and that we do. So I think there's a really useful sort of constant and interrelationship between humanists. I think they naturally tend to call each other up if he says anything strongly to humanistic advance. But this is all to do as human beings, which is thinking about ourselves, trying to what kind of creed, how we should in this world. Definitely, I think you can never have one without the other. And some are more optimistic than others. Some are least so. And this is something that is there to remind you. But not all humanists are nuanced. And to me, my great case of that, jumping ahead of any
Please
of
go
that,
ahead.
And talking about sex, we talked about, we covered twice actually last year, once she's negative effects called negative cults, basically people preying on human natural social back to gain control of people, instead of having positive people. Instead of having positive things, we use it as many examples that they used during many different examples of cults were either mass suicide or harm to others, including themselves, serving group leader sexual favors or money or other forms of expulsive power, and the main focus point of most, or actually all, negative cults were pretty much a narrative leader. In most cases, we really didn't find an authoritarian leader, and still has a negative trials, which is probably the most famous, which is probably the very tail end of the witch trials. Witch trials happened throughout medieval Europe. Caught on fire. The printing press and pamphlets that were distributed. It's a perfect, and we've started talking about where you have turning points, distributed media, and where you have downturns, overall civil discourse, and the printing press, the hammer of witches, that was great disunity in communities, masses of women used for no reason at all. Also make parallels to the telegraph, first on radio, and now social media. I'm adjusted, even though I never really adjusted, and 24 hour news cycles. Yeah, it's which we'll be covering later. I have a book that I have queued up that I would like to talk about, but sorted out all that I wanted, but anyway, that's something into covering this podcast, which means news and weather here at WRUV, and the news here at WRUV, and the news as is coming from that's UVM's, their student room, and you can go to VCOM if you want to, when we read. And this is quite fitting because sociology. I saw this guy, he's also been here and there, and kind of popping his up today, coming from the UVM sociology. I don't know how I'm not murdering it. Assistant professor of Sam and author, launcher of Sam and author, launched his campaign Senate as launched his campaign Senate as decisive in on Monday. Goyle's platform real issues such as property tax relief, education funding, healthcare costs, according to the campaign announcement, quote, is that for a dream of decent reform is fading, unquote, Goyle said. As the first generation, his family's imagery has shaped on public education, he said. Grandmother organized healthcare in March with freedom. His political career 2021 2021's policy advisation and children under Sanders. 2 years later, returned to UVM to teach sociology. So one of UVM professorships or associate professorships or associate professors is Mont Senate Race. Or you can go to VT Cynic. In the Vermont Cynic. First of my independent from 1883. And that's their little headline. And they're right next to me as I'm talking right now. So they're super close. They've been often in the past, so we've had a relationship with them before. Station. Okay, so the weather, which is Friday the 23rd, no early, and it's going to be a low of negative 8 degrees. PSA about this later on. I think this is going to, you know, you probably listen to the talk of the town. Sunny, high of single digits, low of 70 degrees. Mostly sunny. Sunday is going to be PM snow. Six inches of on Sunday. It's going to be a low of 70 degrees, high of 9 degrees. Monday, it's going to be high of 15, a low of 2 degrees, and it'll be 2 degrees, and it'll be light snow. Snow is going to stay as we normal this out. It's going to be high of 17 degrees, 5 degrees, and mostly cloudy. So that's the news in RUV. It is 9:06 here at Burlington, James, full DJ Stewart and Radio Lyceum. And we cover sociology in particular, and a bunch of other topics that kind of fit. We'll be doing more here back in Burlington. It's getting a little bit late. I have a little more time to some of those interviews and schedule them. So let's play a public service announcement about COVID, which is happening pretty soon. So it's gonna be cold now.
You might have known very cold winter. Temperatures don't go above 1 degree Fahrenheit and cause the air to feel even colder. Keep safe, pay close attention to the weather. If you need to go outside, be sure to dress for the weather, exposing as little skin as possible. And if you've been out drinking alone on a cold, message has been brought to you by your cool 80.1 WRUV FM Burlington.
And that's probably like 15 years ago. There's some of went on a snowbank and so that's very good advice. Don't go. First of all, you shouldn't be out drinking. That's terrible. We don't condone. Socially. That's the whole. Another subject I have in the queue: Red Bull. Red Bull drunk is very interesting of alcohol and its main purpose widespread throughout. Even though in the past it's been moderated, let's play a little bit of music and then we'll get with Mindscape Bakewell on the ism. And this is excerpts from Sean Carroll's. The music we're playing, Falling Acid. It's D-Chill. And this is the weather outside. Baseline's a little warm. They'll warm me up in the chill.
Michelle, I've written a book about somebody I find endlessly, somebody I find endlessly fascinating, century essay, was certainly all kinds of ways as somebody who, in classical and contemporary, who considered what he read, for his world, noticed in that he was fascinated by his own human character. But he is also human character. But he is also, he wrote pages on how to get up ourselves. do terrible all the time, and animals are much, all kinds of things than we are. And he draws on who assembled a great mass of animals. They do a much better job of it than our buildings and things like that. So he, to my mind, sums up that tension between humanism, the tension between humanist but he's not one, and he's a much more nuanced view.
And as you said, especially back in those, humanist was not to be in the recognize it right now. But good, with all of that background out of, I'm sure to elaborate precursors to what we think of as humanism in ancient China or India or world, but are your story hundreds in Italy, and how did it start? Why did it start?
Well, it kind of started at their start somewhere. And it is quite a start telling the story of humanism, and with good reason. There was certainly regardivity going on before the previous centuries, but what really changed in hundreds? The marble is they start explicitly thinking as recovering from some kind of age they basically coin. In order to renew the modern world by reaching back to the lost or half lost writings of ancients, meaning and also Greek authors, which they had great still because very few people could read. They explicitly began. So I'm really talking about the sort of people that stand out in this Petro English Francesca, who was. Born in, and his family were sort of refugees from Florence, physical upheaval there. He actually grew up near Avignon in France, where they and he devoted his literature, which he had to battle for, his basically a notary expected him to follow into the legal world. He didn't want to read and write, and that's exactly what he managed to do.
Because expectations of their parents is never going to go
well.
Away.
That's hell by sort of going out and taking or something, or you can rebel by going out scripts of Cicero, which is he made quite a good life for himself. Which was sometimes involved with the church, sometimes sort of, private nobility who activities. So he got to spend his time collecting, find and investment monasteries, fantastic collections of reading on the ancient world, or at least copied by generations of copyists from the end, and collected these, studied them, edited again. All again is back to the humanities. All that now associate with the humanities, this close work on texts and really literary and moral study and political. The other one, if I do fighting character, is Boccaccio, who was a friend of Petrarch's generation, and then going around monasteries, digging up these manuscripts, sort of blagging them, doing them with friends and with Petrarch. A bit of an industry, put into it. Really saw themselves as a new beginning and point to start in looking at that story.
Also, they weren't just collecting old manuscripts.
Very much
they were
so.
Starting something new.
Remembered particular sonnets in poetry, but he wrote other kinds of poems of prose, and really writing letters, ends, which he then led us up to collect and assemble into a volume and copy out a little bit, quite a lot, you know, polishing up. And then he made that into a sort of, which he then, and then he made that into a sort of, which he then distributed among his friends for interest, full of details of his life, his full of details of his life, his world. Some of the letters were addressed to old. Some of the letters were addressed to he loved. So he, quite familiarly, as if they were, familiarly, as if they were friends as well, a bit, you know, for doing things that also wrote a very wide range of stuff. We remember Cameron, which is read tales, range again, you know, a lot of them are just good fun, you know, a lot of them are just good fun. Romps, readers are really meant to be taken as a, so really meant to be taken as a, so he's showing off too.
And so what those two figures, and they're specifically humanist, and
it is the way that they as covering the past, as covering the past and manuscripts, this manuscript hunting and all of this, and then reinventing it for a new generation, certainly that sense of hope, not much hope in their present. It was very different in a very difficult time. The 14th century was really a much of Europe, not least because spread all those areas in the middle of their lives and devastating, absolutely, to people's sense of security in life, of security in life, as well as dating to many cities and populations. They saw themselves literature, the power of these ancient arts of good government, good speaking, good writing, beautiful eloquence, using those as renewing human life.
It's interesting.
Human life.
It's interesting that he was, you know, at the time, and talk about grand hists and how people can talk and what have you. Fascinated by do the ideas themselves lead, or are there external nudge them along? In hundreds, it's the end of the Dark Renaissance. At the other hand, of the Islamic culture in a world where tightly interacting with the European. So, do you credit mostly the thinkers and their ideas here? Condition why it was then.
It's tremendously complex. I also think that your making is also absolutely essential as a reminder that this whole idea of the being a sort of, you know, Renaissance brought light to anything Eurocentric, because it only makes sense from the point of view of mainly of West. So it really stands up to a lot of. Is always the case with these characterizations of particular being one thing, always vastly more complex in the chain of cause and effect, different cultures to each fertilization going on, and was one simple story. In a way, Rabin Boccaccio, in sense of themselves, not uncritically, we can look at them under all sorts of different, whole load of factors that what made up their work.
It does seem a little bit of technology. We had books for the idea of sharing text wasn't their version of social media. It was absolutely making shifts happen.
Well, a crucial thing was the arrival of technology in Europe. They'd had it in China for much longer. Before, parchment made from, you know, calf skin of other animals, really expensive, and you could hardly painstaking process. Of course, that material was so valuable, quite often in order to parchment for writing, being some in the monasteries and their scriptoria, they would often old piece of writing, reuse. And that process contributed to our loss of quite a few texts. They felt that they wanted to write, it was better to write a wild pre-credential, pagan. It wasn't in line with. I think that can be exaggerated in the sense of these monasteries did love those pre-Christian texts and a very good job of it. But yeah, there was an element of which of these are we going to erase in order to have it? So paper was brilliant. It was much more brilliant. It's much, much more readily available.
And when strings of humanism arose, we're in a very religious time. Was there bad? Did people even really want to go bad places of the established?
Never, because it really kind of direct challenge to Christianity taking place. A lot of these people, the church, especially in Rome, but often were associated in order because the church was center of intellectual. It wasn't there. But there are some exceptions. People did write things which antagonized the church or challenged the church authority. One of my favorite of the 15th was Lorenzo Valla wrote a fantastic takedown of this document that was called the Dantine. Supposedly recorded this Emperor Constantine bequeathed the Pope's control over the empire, really. Italy, of other lands all over. An application put together years after it was. And thus these humanistic skills, the fraud, particularly used. So he was in, and also Greek, knowledge of Latin, the timeless thing, but Latin that had evolved me in later, from the way that it had been used in the fourth century when it was supposed to point out and written then, because there weren't, and there were all sorts of she pointed out. So the document is not what it's claimed, and that therefore, of course, to the church's territory that it's basically right. bequeathed. So
can we look at that just a pre sort of a new way of thinking, not pure logic or in the old sense relation or anything like that. It's using knowledge of cultural tools
more than study of that, certainly them in a way that points out contradictions. Scholastic intellectuals did point out contradictions they did have of language. What has come down to us thinking historically has come from, and what has it made, who made it, and why. And we're almost less seeing the real beginning of historians, and certainly of that kind of Christian history that investigates the evidence and foregrounds the evidence, and then asks, "Is the hypothesis here? I'm very happy to count history as a subset
of science." Sure, you can battle with me. Also points to kind of big deal. Kind of big deal at that time, books and paper, but also reform, right? Different ways of organizing and different ways of the birth of the university, whole story.
Yeah, goes back to an
whole story.
Yeah, goes back to an earlier draw. And also, of course, very much drew on the Arabic. That was really where that. But again, in the education's idea of being educated, the good life, being educated, a good human being, a fully realized somebody placed in society, because of course, and men who in this way, and to become princes, heads of whatever it was to do. So perhaps working in the city, the civil people that was much earlier time, which is writing, mm-hmm. is writing mm-hmm. is very how do you learn It's not just about what you learn. It's not just about learning and how to use the documents and pass their training went on. It's about how do you good person, because if you're a ruler, other people below you sort of in the community to emulate you, and they'll become better, and you, and they'll become better, and everybody will, you know, debating humanity, Ren, humanity, conscience, being a good, huge range of meaning, that word. And this can be found in the humanists of the Renaissance, drawing on writings of the Roman, which also stress as well, who also stress a good person, as well, who also stress a good person. So this of public life, humanity, human virtue.
Maybe being too much caught up if they're a worry. That we're that conception of education, modern university that matter are focusing tech students and less them into good human beings.
Well, start to see that concern being sort of for the place. In the 19th, in even entry, we're just teaching training jobs and careers in a very fragmented. What we're not doing is train human beings. They're fascinated by complete full development, holding. That's what education should be doing primarily, and also do a bit of freedom that students should. It should come from within, just be drawn with skill sets, and they should be encouraged as to meaning of educate is to draw out what's in the student. What's in the person as they develop.
Taking out the humanistic education, full one, a big education, full one, a broad one. It never really perspective leadersly for an elite, it was for full. And in particular, the ones, and so that was the justification of this broad education. Yeah. We have more of an universal education, and we put local education, and we put less of the humanistic. People make the strong argument. Person does like education.
Yeah, and also is that it didn't really include anything that we would call science. It didn't. Arguably, and I think this, they got a more scientific education under medieval scholasticism than they did under Sig ideal, because that's on good literary skills, the really tall now didn't exist yet. There wasn't what really just was pretty absent in the 19th century. Educators start well. The most important thing is to give grounding in thought, and that means not, you know, knowledge of how to think scientifically, how to ask scientifically, how to test those are great thinking, and some of that humanistic education by saying, well, what's the point in ancient Greek? When learning about world that's all around us. I mean, I think, and to say, well, we can't.
There's room for both here. Okay. Okay. So I do think it's important, but we're trying to squeeze centuries of human development in time. Take us from the Renaissance, which when I was a kid, I always used to think that they were the same thing, but they're clearly different things. The humanist used through there.
It does. And there's a whole kind of, I mean, there's a between those things as well, but I do think I think jumping to the Enlightenment is not a bad idea, because that's when you start to see the scientific thinking. So we're talking 18th century Enlightenment that sums back to the various scientists, of course, beginning to science in that era, But it was the 18th century. One strand is in reason, method, great belief in the power. But the thickly human, it's having a belief in the human, it's having a belief in the power of that, improve human well-being, the fact that they wanted to form, the fact that they wanted to foreground that being. So I guess that leaps out here, who, great mm-hmm. fit, who really it's, we should do everything that and to do everything that and to find ways of just by reference to some principle, the fact we should actually do, you can never ban all, but deuce it and to minimalize wides to provide ways of sort of wides to provide ways of sort of well be less suffering was very famously very shocked. Earthquake, this is, you know, Lisbon of 1755, which shocked a lot of people around physically. It actually was felt Sweden and Scotland. They could feel electrical construction in Lisbon and so many people either instantly or and civic breakdown that wrote famously Candide, his little fable. He also wrote a poem, its entries in his philosophical dictionary, about this question of when terrible took aim at this just was by the philosopher Leibniz, but by in other contexts as well, the idea behind it was that God, he could have made not be an earthquake, but since stopped it if he could. Clearly, he had some very good reason that, which yeah. means that earthquake didn't happen, how worse. And from us as mere human beings to dispute that, you know, that's far above. And so it's this ways of God to man. It's furring of, we just have God to man. It's furring of, we just have to accept. Which was, well, I mean, Voltaire, by that attitude, he said, well, whether that we've got a perfect right to bewail our fate and then gnash our teeth, the sufferings that, and secondly, not actually do so to make it just a, yeah, less destructive when these things happen, but improved on, but there's a lot that can be done to build to a higher quality, don't fall down so much, to traffic management, of course, in the aftermath of disaster. And since here we've developed a certain ability to, as we know, none of this works, is still horrors happen. But it was meliorism, this time of Voltaire's or anything, it was George Eliot, was possibly the second actually to use, to be quoted. It just means we can make things, yeah. We can't solve the world, we can use our technology, our political management, our ability to predict things, we can both to make things. And I think here is, to me, as one of the, it's the humanist part of a lot of what happened. We'll be right back.
background. Sending the background is 90 my dub. And before that is a corp episode from Sean Sarah Blackwell Humanism, the commentary talking about depths talking about and what kind of built on a lot of Greek philosophers that a lot of the information to Eastern Europe. That was pretty much that to the Arabic world. They basically those books and presents that's been today. That also Eastern Europe was brought back to from the brink of collapse. Empire basically collapsed on itself into civil amenity and allowed the Renaissance on later in the alignment after the Renaissance on later in the alignment after. But there was definitely a button on the printing, which we've covered. This is pretty much is going to be which we've covered before. It's a very interesting period, and it's a very parallel between the printing press. Back then, people were at huge, but back then human life was not until the tree that we actually children survived into adulthood. Children before pretty much died in either early disease that they didn't have any immunizations. Poor health among population and so lots of bad things, people. That's an interesting note talking about the history. Enlightenment and built upon societal information that were just the printing press from China and trading and basically collective knowledge allowed us to get with just one individual, small individuals and groups, with really Archimedes, Aristotle's, and other people look at ancient history person making. Innovations. We got another lined up for this. Alternative WRV. If I'm Perlton, my name is James.
So the Enlightenment in largely in terms of adulating and being bissossy, reasonable, enlightening, bissossy, reasonable. Enlightenment thinkers just try to be more reasonable than we currently are in life if we do.
Plagues and earthquakes' role in the flourishing throughout history, but
yeah, so the cheerful philosophy.
But it actually makes sense upon reflection. I would take ism just said, accept the responsibility of trying to know an anti-humanist or speaking kind of off to anti-humanist or speaking kind of off to, if not explicit to death of off to, if not explicit to destiny, to fate, or whatever. Randomness has got to say, well, but we all have to do the best we can.
That's absolutely right. That responsibility, taking responsibility ourselves and individually. I mean, there are disasters. There will always be disasters, but really up to us to, bond to these as possible.
But nevertheless, a lot, which of course you're going to talk, even the purified is humanist, narrowly defined the part of humanity that doesn't respect the rights that everyone should get, male, certain proclivity. You know, it took people who were not used to raise their hand and say, wait a minute, too. That's a story in the history of...
Enlightenment is particularly ambiguous in that regard because apparently critically minded, rational, you know, sort of rather than frankly enlightenment are perfectly capable of saying that didn't apply to, and then there's a lot of colonized people of Africa, anybody basically of European and of course just race is absolutes of it for much of it, but intersect of it for much of it, but intersect is who are today is who are, for example, starting to say, there's us, okay, you know, there's we. They use some of the tools of humanist or enlightenment thought, think crispy, a lot of humanistic, somebody like Mary, author of Vindication in the late 80s. They're kind of the same about, you know, be this way that, for example, Valna, who used oracle, you might think that women think uneducated is vacation. Why do they constantly be modest and retiring and that they opinions and sort of historical way about, you know, that strand, I think, is appeal to an idea of something. the phrase of the use in the context of the dignity and rights of human, that we all have dignity, however diverse our bits of our lives are, there's also all share, which is tea, and having any less of that than any, start to see this thing which will end with things like debt, where that's right. a central mid-20th century. But it's the feminine. All the voices are starting to central humanity. Mary Wollstonecraft says, the being particular virtues, for example, and then not even human virtues, killer ones that women are supposed to just happen to be all very like modesty, I'm not talking too much yet. She says it's not we all have human virtues, your virtues are human, the sum of humanity, the traditional female or male ones. So these are all concerns, very interesting. It's a good human being, virtuous. What's needed in the public, training people to be knowledgeable, to be eloquent, to take part in decision, all of these things, and to be brought up inclusive. So, this idea of the inclusive, and it's a tremendously complicated, but what is being is a great sort of diverse, the whole humanist thing on today, because we've sorted out the whole of exclusion. We've sorted out the whole of exclusion.
I didn't say this explicitly. individual, human, and self is a very sort of go back through the history, it becomes about individualism, it's very, doesn't always be talking about historical rise, I think it's a sort of of the, well, it becomes a sort of of the
well, it becomes a very non-concept. And liberal philosophers, several liberal thinkers who stick because they did individual, but they also concepts of having a sort of being of all. And so it's, if basically the states, as it's, if basically the states as much as is possible to prevent each other, so to prevent, abuses of the state is to prevent anybody's freedom be curtailed by somebody, but within that should be able to develop, want to by having personal lives the way that are anybody, by having personal lives the way that are anybody else. You know, I think of which is very human. I mean, to say that Islam is individualist, just not quite right. It blurs some of the his developments, and it also got with this rather arrogant idea to do whatever they like, which is consistent with the idea that we are basically, sort of responsible to each other, responsible that we live among, and also to animals, to natural world, to the very foundations of life.
You figure on something that does make sense to me. It was classical liberal emphasis. Emphasizes the individual rights and thing, whereas tradition has individuals as very, there's a lot about helping individuals. I mean, Forrester quote of only connect individuals matter, yeah, but not individually, but as, you know, their care.
Well, really, favorite two quotes on humanist thought. One is Terence, the Afro-Roman playwright, who said a very human alien. We're all connected. I was originally going to say was 19th century Hubert's G. Apparently it was pronounced
soul, okay,
because his enemies used injure soul because he bowls apparently by preaching a secularist message. But it's not the right word there. And he, happiness credo. He said, is now the place. Is here, happiness is the only to be happy, is now the here, happiness is the only to be happy, is now the place here, and the way to make others so.
Let's just leave now, we've in some won the battles again, and Stalinism.
I hope maybe. So, but I'm
not. But there's a different here. People now talk transhumanism. There's a technological uploading ourselves virtual reality. See these tenses and tools to further or potential challenges.
I think that at the moment it's very theoretical. At the moment, what it is to be a human's need. It's what machines might. But that, this sort of wilder shores of idea that we will machine kind of abstract intellectualism in bodies anymore. I find it kind of fun as an idea. I think that so much about what it is, and this is where he sort of reminds us that Of course, it's a body. It's also tied to our society, the people that we, and to all of our cultural lives. Have this tremendous culture. Each other from all that happened in the past. Britain, the art, music, that is the theistic realm of, and it's of our everyday lives. Oh, it's as if this treats all of that as being. Some must aside be a pure essence of some float about, really mentance of some float about, really mental room as an abstraction that I used to feel that was quite to read science fiction. I mean, I love it, but that particular idea used to transcend it, you know, have a mind that's basically integral with the whole universe. And now I think, well, all the things I love. What's letters? What about sort of looking at artworks? What about, you know, sort of having a with my wife, passing the dog, you know, sort of having a with my wife, passing the dog, and that's those sort of passing the dog, and that's those sort of life, the inter